casts out demons. Knowing their thoughts, he said to them, "Every kingdom is divided against itself is laid waste, and no city or house divided against itself will stand. If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out Satan or demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they will be your judges. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can you enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? Then indeed he may plunder his house." So what is Jesus saying? I am delivering people such as Mary of Magdala and this man here and others, many others. I am delivering them from demonic oppression by the Spirit of God, by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. And in casting these demons out, it's ridiculous that Satan would work against himself, Jesus is saying. And by the way, to look at the miraculous works of Jesus and assign them to the power of Satan is what Jesus calls blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Because it's by the Spirit's power that these things were done. But did you hear what Jesus said? I can cast out these demons because I have bound the strong man. So the scene in Revelation 20 is where Jesus, you know, has bound the strong man with respect to his deceiving the nations. Now the gospel is going forth. There are ministers of the gospel commissioned and preaching the word of Christ, and people are hearing the word of Christ, and they are coming alive to the things of the gospel. Now, I did ask the question in my sermon title, how many resurrections? You see, in Revelation 20, you have mention of the first resurrection. Well, then I thought, I got to be curious about how many resurrections were there in the Bible. And of course, here are 10 instances in the scripture. And you could add, I guess, Jonah. Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days, and in fact, after three days, Jonah was released from the fish. He was ejected onto the dry land. And Jesus says of that event, when the Jews want a sign, when the Jewish leaders want a sign, he says, "A wicked and sinful generation seek a sign, and I'm not going to give you any more signs. You don't believe the signs I give you anyway, the miracles. You assign them to the power of Satan. But here's a sign I'm going to give you. It's the sign of Jonah. As Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the whale, so would he be 3 days in the tomb, and after which rise again." But here you have these instances of people being raised from the dead. The widow of Zarephath, that's Elijah in 1 Kings 17. He is seeking some food. Elijah is seeking some food in the midst of famine. And this widow of Zarephath, she feeds him, and then her son dies, and Elijah raises him from the dead. The Shunammite woman, not even an Israelite woman, but a Shunammite woman, she is barren, and Elisha, the one who took the mantle from Elijah, you know, he's the one who came after Elijah, and Elisha said almost what was said to Sarah, "This time next year, you're going to have a son. I'm going to come back next year, and you'll have a son." Well, as that son was growing up, we read that he is out in the field with his father, and all of a sudden he has this terrible pain in his head, and he keels over dead. And Elisha raises him from the dead. And then there was the man who was raised when he came into contact with Elisha's bones. That's in 2 Kings 13. And then we come to the New Testament, where you have this marvelous account of the widow of Nain. And I love this account because the scene is such coming out of the city of Nain is a large company of people who are grieving the loss of this widow's son. And Jesus and his entourage, they're coming into the city. So we're talking about thousands going in two different directions, meeting one another. And so there are several thousand people there. And Jesus, Here you see his compassion and mercy. He zeroes in on the woman who is hurting and grieving. She's lost her only son. And of course, prior to this, she's lost her husband. And so Jesus comes to this woman. And can you imagine that? They're very demonstrative in the Middle East. You have professional mourners. And boy, can they mourn and make a ruckus. They're mourning and weeping and wailing. And Jesus goes to this woman and says, "Weep no more." And then raises her son from the dead. And then, of course, you have Jairus' daughter. Widow's son is in Luke 7 and Luke chapter 8. You have Jairus' daughter who was raised by Jesus. And then you have Jesus himself when he is raised from the dead. And of course, on the day that he was crucified. What a powerful thing. The whole of the created order reflected the judgment of God. You know, Jesus, we celebrate Good Friday. And we are reminded of the horrible death on the cross, the cruelty of the crucifixion, the mockery of a trial that was brought by false teachers, corrupt rulers who hired false witnesses to hide, and they couldn't even get their story straight. And so Jesus, when he was on the cross, the sky grew dark, it thundered. The earthquake, and when the earthquake, we read in Matthew 27 that there were holy people in their tombs that were opened up and they went about walking in Jerusalem. So in other words, the power of Jesus' death revealed that it is life-giving. Jesus' death, whereby our sins are forgiven, is life-giving. And then, of course, in the book of Acts, you have Dorcas, who was raised from the dead by the Apostle Peter. And then I've already mentioned in Acts chapter 20, Eutychus, who, listening to one of Paul's sermons, falls asleep, falls out the window, breaks his neck, is raised from the dead so that he can hear more of Paul's sermons. I love that one. So these are the resurrections that the Scripture gives us. And they are foretastes of what is to come. But the sad thing is, these people had to die again. They had to go back into their tombs, all but Christ. And so now, what is meant by Revelation 20? It mentions the first resurrection and the second death. Well, is there a second resurrection? Well, here in the popular view is this, that when the church is raptured, we read, the dead in Christ will rise first. Jesus says, you know, if you believe in him, you have life. And of course, he says, I've come to do not my will, but the will of my Father. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I will raise those up who believe in him. I will raise them up at the last day of the last days. All right. So the popular view sees that rapture, a secret rapture of the church, as the first resurrection. And then after the 1,000 years, you have another resurrection. Well, I don't believe that that's what's being spoken of here. Here's a commentator that notes that John is taking the reader behind the scenes and he's revealing what has happened to the martyrs. Again, Revelation was written to encourage first century Christendom and believers who perhaps lost loved ones due to martyrdom. And so he's revealing behind the scenes what has happened to the martyrs and who have died a physical death. They are alive because of their first resurrection. And in the presence of Christ, they reign. Of course, you know, the apostles wanted to know, who's going to rule and reign with you, Lord, when you come into your kingdom? Well, Jesus promised them that they would, that the apostles would sit in judgment on thrones. And during that 1,000 years, which is depicting the first coming to the second coming of Christ, why 1,000 years? It's a lengthy period of time, but it's a definitive period of time. And you can get into all the numbers, but the important thing is it's a definite period of time. And during that time, the apostles rule and reign with Christ here on the earth. And when he comes again in judgment, all things will be placed in subjection to him. So I tell you, the first resurrection is not a physical one, but a spiritual one. Does the Bible teach such? You better believe it does. In John chapter 5, Jesus says this, in verse 24, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For the Father has life in himself, and so he has granted the Son to also have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in their tombs will hear his voice and come out, and those who have done good to resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to resurrection of judgment." And so do you see that? And when Jesus gave parables of the sower and the reaper, the angels who reap, they reap all. So here Jesus speaks about hearing and believing his words. If you truly believe in his words and you are born again, you're born again to a living hope. You have passed from spiritual death to spiritual life. That's what the Bible teaches. If you do not believe in the Lord Christ, if you haven't trusted in him by grace through faith, that he died for your sins and he was perfectly obedient so that you might be declared righteous, hear this. You are a walking dead man. You are a walking dead man, woman, or child if Christ is not real to you. And in fact, Christ does become real to us when we've come from death to life. When we are raised from spiritual death to spiritual life, all of a sudden the things that we did not believe before, could not believe, didn't want to believe, now they are precious to us. Because we've come from death to life, from darkness to light. The Apostle Paul gives us again, he speaks of it in Ephesians 2. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. And in Colossians 2, verse 13, "And you who were dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands." What's the legal demand of the law for our trespass? You deserve to die. I deserve to die. But Christ took that death for us. And if we died not in faith, as Revelation 6 or 20 says, we experience the second death. That is the ultimate death and separation from God. So Christ made us alive by faith, by grace, when he was put to death on the cross, when he was raised physically from the dead by his power, we are spiritually raised. And then he goes on to say, "This he set aside," that is the penalty of the law, nailing it to the cross. "He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you for food and drink, for a Sabbath day, because the fulfillment is in Christ." A little different Easter message this morning, but I trust that you see that Christ is risen from the dead. And when Revelation speaks of the first resurrection, it's speaking about the resurrection from spiritual death to spiritual life. Do you have that life in Christ? Again, it was a great joy to watch the baptisms this morning. I appreciate Jamie Bagley, though we disagree over the view of baptism, yet it was exciting to see these young people come to faith and express their faith before those who are watching in public. And the charge that Pastor gave to them after they were coming out of the water, to grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, to become people who are sanctified by his word and spirit. And so that is the hope. Have you come from death to life? Only if you truly believe that Jesus is who he says he is, the eternal Son of God. And by the designation Son of Man, he's making reference to the Son of Man in Daniel 7, who goes before the throne of the Ancient of Days. And the Son of Man receives all power and honor and glory and all over the world, because Satan no longer will deceive the Gentiles. There are elect all over the world who will come to faith in Christ because Satan is bound. And so, have you come to believe that Jesus is who he says he is, the crucified Lamb of God? If you have, you've experienced the first resurrection. And when Christ comes again at the end of the age to usher in the new heavens and the new earth, if we have passed from life to death in this broken and fallen world, again, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord, but at that second coming of Christ, the dead in Christ will be raised first, and body and soul will be reunited and fit without sin to enjoy life in the new heavens and the new earth. No more unrighteousness, no more sin, no more political garbage. All of it will end, and we will enjoy fellowship one with another, unhindered, full of joy. That's the hope that awaits us, all who are in Jesus. Father, I do pray that all here would be in Jesus Christ. Father, I can't convince. I can only preach the gospel. It is your Spirit that convinces and convicts. So do that work, Holy Spirit, in accord with your perfect will. Thank you. Thank you for your kindness to us. And Lord Jesus, we rejoice, for you were the one who died for our sins and who is alive now forevermore. And so we come with thanksgiving and joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's rejoice as we